Our recording from Sunday didn't get started until a ways into the sermon, so I've been asked to record a part one of the sermon and fill you in on the missing parts. A couple notes to mention before we even start. The visuals in the PowerPoint are helpful for this one, so if you'd like to see them, you'll find a link to the slides if you click on the read button. Also, at some point in the missing part of the sermon, I make a disclaimer and apology for the way I pronounce the name of the Canaanite god Baal, which you're probably used to hearing as Baal. I don't want it to be a distraction, so I explain that I was heavily influenced by a couple professors that pronounced it Baal. I picked it up years ago, and I can't seem to go back. Now, we get to get into 1 Kings 18, one of my favorite stories in the Bible, because I love a good competition. And what we get here in 1 Kings 18 has got to be the most dramatic and powerful competition ever. And it's just so well told. Now, usually we read the passage first, then we talk about understanding it in its context and applying it comes last. But we're doing it backwards today. I want the main part of this story to be really meaningful and applicable the first time we read it. And there's a lot of context to think about first that will make it really meaningful. So the context is a series of competitions between Yahweh and Baal. So let's remember where we are in the story. Israel has seen drought for 2 years. We're into the third year of it now when we come to chapter 18. The people of Israel have been worshiping the Canaanite god Baal. Drought is part of God's plan to show his superiority over this god and win his people back. You see, Baal is the storm god. His voice is thunder. He carries a lightning bolt. He claims to be the one that brings the rain. But God shows Baal's impotence and his own power over Baal's realm by withholding rain for over 2 years. That's pretty impressive, but there's actually more. These chapters have been building up a case against Baal and for Yahweh. We've been seeing a series of competitions of increasing drama. So first, God withholds the rains that Baal claims to have power over. And then Elijah visits Zarephath in the heart of Baal's land, where, according to Canaanite theology, Baal's power should be the strongest. But when Elijah gets there, he finds that Baal's people are preparing to die for lack of food. You see, Baal provides for his people by giving rain. But without the rain, he's powerless to provide. Yahweh shows his power to provide, even without rain, by multiplying oil in the widow's jar. Then there's this part of the narrative where the woman's son dies. Elijah prays to Yahweh, and the boy is raised. It seemed a bit out of place to me, but then I read through the Phoenician stories of Baal. And in these stories, he's depicted as the most powerful god who succumbs only to Mot, the god of death. In the stories, Mot drinks Baal's rains. He swallows the moisture of the land so that the olives shrivel, the produce of the earth wilts, and the fruit of the trees drops off. Death is powerful to take away what Baal provides. And in the story, in this battle with Mot, Baal dies as the rain dries up and the dry season begins. The assembly of the gods mourn Baal's death by putting dust on their hair and slashing their bodies with knives, which you'll see again later in our passage. Animals are sacrificed to the gods as an entreaty for Baal's return. And in the end, Baal is returned to life, and the rains begin again so the farmers can plant. This story forms the Phoenicians' and the Canaanites' view of the seasons. Every year, as the dry season begins, Baal is defeated by death, and nothing grows. And then in the spring, he's returned and provides rain during the growing season, until he succumbs to death again the next year. In raising the widow's son back to life, God shows his ultimate power over the one powerful force that defeats Baal again and again, death. The narrative builds up to Mount Carmel, which we get to read about today. God's decided he's going to send rain again, and he tells Elijah to go find King Ahab, So we're going to read just the beginning now. In 1 Kings 18, we're going to start in 17, verse 17. Ahab's been looking for Elijah for 2 years, and he blames him for the drought. So he starts out saying this. When Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, "Is this you, you troubler of Israel?" And Elijah said, "I've not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, because you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and you have followed the Baals. Now then, send and gather to me all Israel at Mount Carmel, together with 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of the Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent a message among all the sons of Israel and brought the prophets together at Mount Carmel. Elijah came near to all the people and said, "How long will you hesitate between two opinions? If Yahweh is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." But the people did not answer him a word. Here's the whole purpose of the competitions. It's time to choose. From this point now, you can listen to the rest of the message from the original recording, labeled here as part 2.